Back at you, DVD, D-Mace, Vingan and Donnick. We got my main man, Tim Hassel, back on the line.
Sure.
Tim, you like your introductory song, man? I think we need to change. We need to spice it up a little bit, man. What do you think?
I like my my walk up music. I still like my walk up music. But I'd say like I've been doing this hit for over a decade easily. Uh-huh. That might be the first time that you've ever brought it back from break when I've come off. Like that might be the first time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you just got to be multifaceted around here, man. You know, when things happen, life is fluid. You got to jump in the seat and you got to be ready. You know how it is, Tim. You can't get ready. You got to be ready. And I am always ready.
Hey, boy, you should do D-Mace. Like, hey, you're coming up on football season, mini camps. I see just like more you can do. Let's go.
Hey, listen, don't give Chase no ideas, man. Okay, I'm cool with Ron, where I'm at right now. Don't give Chase no more ideas.
Hi,
okay?
Best friend, I miss you.
hey, Tim, quickly, I want to get into this before I get into some Titan news. The situation in Atlanta. I know Atlanta has named Michael Penix. He's going to be their starter. And I know they're trying to somehow, some way, facilitate a trade with Kirk Cousins eventually. But do you think it would be wise of them to eat the salary and keep Kirk Cousins on the roster for another year? Because this is a team with a new head coach. If anything happens to the rookie, the second-year quarterback, who we've seen a little but not enough, do you think it would be wise that they keep Kirk Cousins just in case as a backup plan?
Listen, I think if the money is relatively similar, meaning if in order to trade him, they've got to eat a huge chunk of his contract, then yeah, I do. Because the other aspect of it with Cousins at this stage of his career, and because of the type of guy he is, that having Cousins – I think is a huge benefit to Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. I just some guys, end up as the backup and they're not a benefit to the starter. In fact, they kind of can fracture the locker room. Like if Penix were to struggle or anything like that, Cousins isn't going to be like that. And so I think because of, his experience, the type of guy and teammate that he is, if the money isn't drastically different where it's, some team is getting you off of the hook, of his salary, then yeah, I think you keep him as your backup. And it's just, it's unfortunate that you signed your backup quarterback to a huge starter deal. I mean, I think that's ultimately how I would look at it.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, let's shift our talk over to the Tennessee Titans. They're entering into mandatory minicamp today. I think they may be on the field right now. How does Brian Callahan handle this situation moving forward? It's not a huge situation because ultimately we know Cam Ward will be the quarterback once the season kicks off. But as a head coach, a second-year head coach, how does he manage this in a way where, he's not clearly showing everybody that, hey, listen, everyone else behind, Cam Ward, y'all just fighting for second and third, but he's our guy. Because you want to continue to have that competition in that room where it's iron sharpens iron. But how does Brian Callahan facilitate this moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's a really interesting one because you do want the guys to compete. At the same time, Cam Ward's a starter, period. So, I think what I would do is, look, I would give – I basically would give, kind of the anointed reps to Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. And then I would surprisingly, at various times unannounced, say, all right, well, let's get in there and take this rep. Take him out. And now all of a sudden it's like, you're sprinkling in the opportunity to be there with the ones, to be in the most competitive drill. So all of a sudden, you're in there because you may end up playing. I expect you to play well. And so, I expect you to compete. And then when he goes in there and if he goes in there and does well, that's the iron that sharpens iron for Cam Ward to say, hey, I had that rep last week in practice. It didn't go well, and here comes, you know, my backup came in here and runs that rep, and he runs it with success. Like, that's how you do it. Because, like, no one thinks, because it's not true, that it's a legitimate competition. It's not. But that doesn't mean that guys can't compete and push one another.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I asked that question because as this is not, you know, 10 years ago where, you know, before they redid the collective bargain, it may have been longer than that, where you spent the majority of your offseason at the building. So you were able to get those reps, those mental reps and those physical reps that you needed to get because we had to be there. Now that it's changed, and it's changed for the better, I get it, but you don't have that as much time to spend with your quarterbacks as you used to. So you're trying to fit all this time in all while trying to develop a quarterback, but not just giving him the job.
Now, listen, you know, Mike McCarthy used to call it QB school. And, you know, he did it various places and he, you know, developed various quarterbacks. I think that's one of the things that, you know, while, you know, the players union has done a good job of, you know, I guess fighting for more time off for, you know, it's, you know, members. Mm-hmm. I think quarterback development has probably been the thing that has taken the shot the most because you just don't have the time in the building to, you know, get the mental reps and do stuff. And really, this is going to sound crazy, but like the advancement of technology and even being able to get like virtual reps, you know, which some teams are doing, like you really would be able to develop guys even more, you know, because of the benefit of technology that didn't exist 12, 15 years ago. So, yeah, that's been a challenge. And so, you know, some of it just ends up being, all right, well, like, maximize it. How do guys basically, even on their own, get themselves ready? Because, look, when they do get an opportunity to play, people are going to expect them to play well. Otherwise, they're going to be drafting another quarterback the next year.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, we just had a good little philosophical conversation about what should the expectation be for an interior lineman with high expectations like a Jeffrey Simmons on number of sacks. And it's a nuanced discussion, right? Because it's a little different for an interior defensive lineman, but the Titans, I think it's pretty clear, have not had a big year from Jeffrey Simmons since he signed the gargantuan contract. So what's a reasonable sack number, and how would you address that if you're Brian Callahan? Because he pretty much acknowledged they need more.
Yeah, and I would say that, like, I don't know that sacks are the right I don't know that sacks are the right stat, right? And I say that because, like, sometimes you fall into a sack. Sometimes it's the quarterback's, you know, bust that there's a sack. I think that, especially, like, with an interior guy, I do think that, you know, the metrics that I would be more, you know, interested in from that in that regard are, like, QB pressures or hurries or disruptions or however you do it to say, like, okay, how disruptive have you been there? Like, does it always lead to a negative play with a sack? No, but, like, but it might lead to an inaccurate throw and those types of things. So, like, I mean this. I would not get caught up in the sack totals, right? Like, the sacks are great, but I would not get caught up in the sack totals. In terms of, like, the interior pressures, look, I think that, you know, and then depending on how you're grading those, look, I think you need, especially from, like, an elite, highly paid guy, I think you need at least one interior pressure a game, you know, from, like, an elite interior player. And so what that means, you just collapse in the pocket, move the quarterback off the spot, whether it means, you know, you get a batted ball, whether it means, you know, you get a quarterback hit. You know, I think all of those things are things that I would count. And I think you need at least one a game.
So, meanwhile, in Indianapolis, we've got the injury, an issue now with Anthony Richardson, which is going to keep him on the sideline some. And you've got a newcomer in Daniel Jones. What do you make of that dynamic here? Because this is a pretty big development. They have already had a lot of issues trying to get Anthony Richardson sped up on his developmental track, and this isn't going to help a whole lot.
Yeah, this there's no other way to describe, you know, what's going on there than the fact that that's an absolute train wreck. You just think about it from the standpoint of, like, this is year three for Anthony Richardson. The team acknowledged that they are bringing in starter-level competition for Anthony Richardson. To put that in perspective on the timeline, that would be like the Chicago Bears bringing in competition and saying it next year for Caleb Williams. That would be like Jaden Daniels, them saying, yep, we're bringing in legitimate competition and paying a guy such. We're bringing in legitimate competition for Jaden Daniels. So, like, to give you an idea of, like, how poorly it's gone, you know, for Anthony Richardson, that they're doing it that quickly, like, that already is a massive acknowledgement of, like, this isn't working. He's not shown us that he can be the guy. So, like, that would be the first thing. And then how I see it playing out, like, Daniel Jones is going to end up being their starter at some point. Anthony Richardson dealing with injury now. Like, you just, he's doing things that you can't count on him. And so because of that, I don't know that I can say with confidence that he's going to start the season, like week one. But I don't think, I think before we get through a quarter of the season, Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow. Bad news for the Colts tends to be good news for the Titans. We'll see if they can take advantage of that. And as we let you go here, Tim, quick answer here. Hendrickson and T.J. Watt, two guys who are really good at what they do, seeking new deals here. Is this kind of the position we're looking at now to sort of reset the market with the cap going up?
Well, here's the, I think, is what's happening. You got elite pass rushers. Both of them are that, right? And those guys, elite pass rushers, are second highest paid players outside of the quarterbacks. They deserve it. But they're also a little bit like running backs. You get north of 30 and a guy wants a long-term deal. Now all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, am I going to be paying a guy 40-something million dollars, you know, when he's 34, 35 years old on a long-term deal? Like, that maybe is not what you want to be doing.
Mm. Good point. That is always the tough one. Tim, thanks a lot for shuffling your schedule with us and joining us today. And we'll talk to you again here very soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. See you.